Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Thursday morning learning at the Young Israel of Woodmere on this snowy winter day. Today's shiur I am dedicating to the Aliyah Neshama and Zechira Neshama of a dear friend of mine and a learning partner of mine in memory of her son, Rabbi Yosef Aryeh ben Rabbi Avram Hirsch, Zechona Levracha. May his Neshama have an Aliyah. And the zchus of the Torah learning that we share, Yahrzeit today, 29 Shvat. May his family have nechama and simchas hachayim and great comfort from Hamakom, the only one who can give comfort to all of us. Mishenichnas Adar marbim besimcha. So, not going to focus on the parsha today, Parshas Mishpatim. Rather, I'm going to begin. I'm not sure, Bli Neder, I think my plan is, but you never know, to focus on the Arba Parshios before each of the Arba Parshios. So this is a special Shabbos, very special Shabbos, because it is Parshas Mishpatim. It's Parshas HaChodesh in terms of Rosh Chodesh, other not Parshas HaChodesh, like Parshas Bo will read before Nisan, but it is Parshas Mishpatim, it is Rosh Chodesh Adar, and it is the special Shabbos of Shabbos Parshas Shkolim. So from before Purim to before Pesach, we read the Arba Parshios. The first of these special Shabbosos is Parshas Shkolim. That is the last Shabbos of Shvat, or in our year, the Shabbos of Rosh Chodesh Adar. The excerpt that we read is from Parshas Ki Tisa, which we'll be looking at in the Chumash from Sefer Shemos. So this coming Shabbos is Shabbos Parshas Shkolim. You'll take out 3 Sefer Torah from the Aron Kodesh, one for Mishpatim, one for Rosh Chodesh, and one for Parsha Shkalim, which is the topic of our shiur today. The next special of the 4 Shabbosos is next week. Is next week Rosh Zachar? Mishpatim Shuma, yeah? That's a Sum Purvis. Parsha Zachar is read from Sefer Devarim, chapter 25, verses 17 through 19. The Shabbos preceding Purim, we have the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek. Remember what Amalek did to us on the way when we were leaving Egypt. That is the Shabbos before Purim and the second of the 4 special Shabbosos. Then, the Shabbos before Shabbos HaChodesh, we read, or we call it Shabbos Parshas Para. When we read from Parshas Chukas, Perek Yud Tes of Bamidbar, regarding the red heifer, the Para Aduma, their connection. The Para Aduma is an atonement for the Chet Egel, the ashes of the Para Aduma, and how they are mitame the Tahorim. So that is Parshas Para. It occurs the Shabbos before Parshas HaChodesh, and then the 4th of these special Shabbosos is Parshas HaChodesh. It is read the last Shabbos of Adar, or Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That is from also Sefer Shemos, Perek Yud Beis, Parshas Bo, which introduces the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh and many of the mitzvahs regarding the Korban Pesach. So this week begins the first of 4 special Shabbosos. Parshas Shkalim, 2 weeks before Purim, if you will, the end of Shvat or Rosh Chodesh Adar. Parshas Zachar, the Shabbos before Purim. Parshas Para, the laws of the Para Aduma, which is the Shabbos before HaChodesh. And then Parshas HaChodesh from Parshas Bo. The topic is Rosh Chodesh and Korban Pesach. And that is read either the last Shabbos of Adar or Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So therefore, this coming Shabbos, we will delve into the topic of Parsha Shkalim. So that is what this year is going to be focusing on. The special Torah reading for Shabbos Parsha Shkalim is Perek Lamed in the book of Shemos, chapter 30, Psukim Yud Aleph through Tet Zayin. It is a short excerpt. It is known as Parshas Ki Tisa, but this Shabbos we read it as Parshas Shkalim. So if you're looking inside a Chumash, I'm going to read the Psukim out loud and translate them. We begin in Parshas Ki Tisa, Perek Lamed in Shemos, Perek Yud Aleph. Vayidaber Hashem and Moshe Lemor, and God spoke to Moses saying, Ki Tisa es Rosh B'nei Yisrael, when you take account, accounting, Targum Unkus is Are Sekabel Yas Chushban B'nei Yisrael, when you make a cheshbon, when you take an accounting of the children of Israel, of course, many midrashic verse, Ki Tisa means to lift up, we should spiritually be all lifted up. Ki Tisa es Rosh B'nei Yisrael, When you take a cheshbon, says Unkos, an accounting of the heads of the Bnei Yisrael, that means take a head count, lepikudeihem, according to their count, v'nasnu, so how should you count the Bnei Yisrael? You shouldn't go around the room and count everyone who is here by number, v'nasnu ish kofer nafsho, every man shall give an atonement for his soul, la Hashem, to God, bifkod osam, when they will be counted, v'lo yebam negef bifkod osam, so that there should not be a plague when you count them. And Rashi says, if we count directly, it leads to ayin hara, and it could lead to a plague. So when we count, how do we count? Ze yitnu, kol ha'over al ha'pikudim. This is what they should give, parak lamed, pasuk yud gimel. Each one who passes to be counted. Machatzis ha'shekel b'shekel ha'kodesh. And this Shabbos is known as Shabbos Parshas Shkalim. They should give a machatzit ha'shekel, a half a shekel, b'shekel ha'kodesh, in the holy shekel. And now the pasuk tells you how much a shekel is. Esrim geira, a shekel is 20 geira, ha'shekel, machatzis ha'shekel, a half a shekel, truma la'Hashem. A portion to God. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Again, it's a short passage. Pasukim Yud Aleph through Tet Zion from Shemos. Kol ha'over al ha'pikudim. Everyone who counts, who passes by to be counted, mibein esrim shana v'mala, from the age of 20 and up, yitain should give trumas Hashem. So we start counting from the age of 20 and up, because that is the Yotzei Tzava. Those who go out to war from the age of 20 and up, everyone who counts to be passed, who passes to be counted, from the age of 20 and up, gives a half a shekel, b'shekel ha'kodesh. And this will be read again this coming Shabbos in Beis Knesses, Pasuk Tesvav. Now let's say you have someone very wealthy, and he doesn't want to give a half a shekel. He wants to give 1,000 shekels. He's very rich, and he wants his name on the plaque over the golden mizbeach in the Beis Hamikdash, so could he give 1,000 or 10,000 shekels? And the other guy is very poor, and he could only afford an agura, so I can't even give a shekel. I can't even give a half a shekel. So what is the law? Pasuk Tetvav, ha'ashir lo yarbeh. He who has rich, he who has more monetary wealth, he cannot give more. The hadal lo yam eat, and the poor person cannot give less. So you have to go to every length to make sure that everyone is obligated from the age of 20 and up to give a half a shekel. Mi machatzis ha-shekel, from the half a shekel, latet et trumat Hashem, to give a truma, a contribution, a portion of God, the chaper al nafsho seichem, as an atonement for your souls. Last pasuk. Vilakachta es kefes kesef kipurim. Hashem says to Moshe, you should take the silver, the kesef of atonement, me'ei b'nei Israel, from the children of Israel, minasata also al avodas ohal mewe. It is used for the upkeep of the sanctuary. What should Moshe do with this money? Take it for himself? Of course not. You should give it to the work, for the required work, the funds, the cost of running the Olmoed, v'hayu l'vnei Yisrael l'zikaron, it will be for the children of Israel as a zikaron, l'vnei Hashem, before God, l'chaper al nafsho seichem, to atone for your souls. This is the passage of Shabbos Parshas Shkalim that will be read from the third Sefer Torah this coming Shabbos. So there are many halachas. The OU halacha yomis this week has been, what if the shul doesn't have 3 Sefer Torah? Are you allowed to roll from one place to the other? Beyond my scope of erudition, halachos are for your rabbi. But I want to do one Rashi with you. If you note that 3 times in this pasuk, it says truma la Hashem, 3 times in this passage. In pasuk Yud Gimel, it says that the machatzis ha-shekel is teruma la Hashem. In pasuk Yud Dalet, it says yitain trumas Hashem. And in pasuk Tet Vav, it also says trumas Hashem. So we already know that nothing in the Torah is superfluous and nothing in the Torah is an accident. 3 times it mentions truma la Hashem, a contribution or a portion to God. Why 3 times? So let's look at one Rashi. Rashi to pasuk Tezvav says davar acha lechaper al nafsho seichem lefisha ramaz lem kan shalos trumos. The Torah here alluded to 3 offerings. There were actually 3 collections for the people in the desert with this machatzis. It says Trumas Hashem. I just outlined it, delineated for you. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, and Tetvav. I'll say Trumas Hashem because there were 3 times when Moshe collected a truma for Hashem when it comes to the Melechas HaMishkan. Achas, what was the first one? Trumas Adonim, the offering of the silver for the sockets of the Mishkan. When the first time they were counted, Shemanan Kishihitchilu B'nidvas HaMishkan, Moshe counted them when they started the work of contribution to the Mishkan, and everyone gave a machatzis ha-shekel. They all gave a machatzis ha-shekel at the beginning of the Nedavas HaMishkan, the donations to the Mishkan, that machatzis hasheka umehen nasu ha'adanim, the sockets that held up the beams of the Mishkan were made from the half a shekel contribution that the people gave when they started Nedavas HaMishkan. That's one truma l'Hashem that is indicated in the verse. Why is there truma to Hashem two more times? Just tell me at the end that the machatzis hasheka is truma l'Hashem v'hashenis. Why a second time machatzis hasheka? Afhi al yedei minyan. This too came about through accounting of the people. Shemanan mishuhu kama mishkan. The people were also counted when the mishkan was erected. So they were counted at the beginning, and those contributions, the half a shekel that they gave as they passed to be counted, was used for the sockets. They were counted again when before the mishkan was erected. Mishuhu kama mishkan. Hu ha minyan ha amur betchilat chumash hapikudim. This is what is said in the beginning of Bamidbar. That second count, when the Mishkan was erected, v'nasnu kol echad machatzis hashekel. At that time also, every Israelite over the age of 20 gave a half a shekel. What did they do with the second half a shekel? The first one was for the sockets. The second one was for v'hein likno mehen karbanot tzibur shel kol shana v'shana. Those shekelim were used to buy the karbanot tzibur, the communal offering. So that was the second shekel. V'hushvu bahem aniyim va'ashirim. And the poor and the rich were equal in regard to these counts, as we have seen. However, the third Truma Hashem alludes not to the count where the rich and the poor were equal, but rather Ishma Shenadvo V'lo Haisa Yad Kulam Shavabo. Beginning of Parshas Truma says, V'yichuli Truma Me'ez Kol Isha Shayidvenu Libo. And it came to the voluntary contributions, if you wanted to give gold and silver and copper, purple wool, scarlet wool, linen, that you could give however much you wanted. But when it came to the machatzis hashekel, everybody had to give the same amount. The first contribution for the sockets of the Mishkan, the second counting and contribution for the karbanot tzibur, and the third truma indicates whatever a person's heart motivated to give, that is how much he gave to the Mishkan and to the building. This is read this coming Shabbos, known as Shabbos Parsha Shkolim. So let's talk a little bit about more about the significance, why it is read either, again, the last Shabbos of Shvat, or like this year, the Shabbos of Rosh Chodesh Adar, now that we have seen the Psukim with one Rashi. So I am going to quote from Elio Kitov, Sefer HaTodaah, the book of our heritage. I'm just turning to the page that I need. Here we go. So Kitov writes, in Hebrew it is the Sefer HaTodaah, in English, the book of our heritage. So Kitov writes, what is the significance of this machatzis hashekel? Now, I could understand in temple times the significance of the machatzis hashekel, but what is the significance to us that we have a Shabbos Parsha Shkolim, which is the first of the four special Shabbosos that take us from the beginning of Adar to the beginning of Nisan? Does this have anything to do with me? I'm not living in temple times, and why do we read this? Okay, Kitov writes, when the sanctuary stood, it was a positive mitzvah, we just read it, incumbent upon every Jew to give a half shekel annually. In temple times, when the Beit HaMikdash stood, it was a positive d'oraisa mitzvah for every Jew over the age of 20 to give a half shekel annual donation. What was it used for? So in the time of Moshe, we saw what they were used for. What was it used for in temple times? Communal sacrifices. The sacrifices on the Karbanot Tzibur, like we even saw in Rashi. So that is what all those half shekels were collected and used for. All of the communal sacrifices, offered during the year were purchased with the donations of half shekel from that year and not from any other year. So the money didn't carry over. Whatever they collected that year was used for the Karbanot Tzibur of that year, and it didn't carry over to another year. Everyone was obligated in this mitzvah, even the poor who were supported by charity. So it's not like, oh, I could only afford it, agurah. Let's say someone was supported by charity, he too was obligated to bring the machatzis hashekel. If the poor person lacked the half a shekel, he was required to borrow or even sell one of his garments. And now Kitov quotes a pasuk that we just saw. The rich cannot give more, the poor cannot give less when it comes to the contribution of the half a shekel. Furthermore, the half a shekel could not be paid in installments. Again, this is in temple times. When were they due? Annually? When were they due? So we count the year starting from Tishrei, but we know that the Torah stands to counts the new year starting from Nisan. The Nisan is one. The HaChodesh that we will read, HaChodesh HaZalachem on Parshas HaChodesh, before Pesach, as we enter Nisan, HaChodesh HaZalachem, Rosh Chodesh, in Mishon HaLachem, Lechad Sheyashana, Shemos 12:2. Rashi says that's Nisan. Rishon Hu Lechem, Lechad Sheyashana. Nisan is month number 1, according to Torah. So when were the half a shekel donations due? By Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So that makes sense. If Nisan is month number 1, and these contributions are used, the funds are earmarked for by the Korbanot Tzibur of that year, and month number 1 is Nisan, so the funds are due Rosh Chodesh Nisan. The rich can't give more. The poor even has to sell his garment or borrow money so that he can contribute to the Machatzir Shekel Fund. Why Rosh Chodesh Nisan? On that date, allocations were made from the treasury for the purchase of the animals that were brought for communal sacrifices during the course of the year. Why must everybody contribute equally? The rich, I understand, he can't give more. He could give more in a different way. But the poor has to borrow, yes. All of Israel should have a part in the atonement of the Korbanot Tzibur. It atones for the whole community. You know that Tzibur, I heard Rabbi Zev Lev say it a few months ago in a shir, and I just read it somewhere else as well. Tzibur stands for Tzadik Beinoni Rasha. Klal Yisrael is a Tzibur. And we're made up of all different sorts of people. We're not recommending we should be on the lower end of the spectrum, but there are many kinds of people in Klal Yisrael. We strive to be on the upper end. Every person in the Tzibur, the Tzadik, the Beinoni, the Rasha, the rich, the poor, the 20-year-old, the 60-year-old, you must contribute a half a shekel due by Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Why do we read this as we usher out Shvat and move into Adar? Well, now it makes sense. You need to give people notice to collect the funds. It was customary to make public announcements. Again, this is in temple times. Beginning on Rosh Chodesh, what do you think? It's due Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So when you need to make the announcement? Rosh Chodesh Adar. Reminding people that the half a shekel is due in 1 month's time so that everyone would have sufficient time to A, secure the funds, and B, contribute. On the 15th of Adar, halfway through the month of Adar, so 2 weeks after the announcements are made and 2 weeks before it's due, collectors would begin sitting in each city and ask that contributions be brought. One who did not bring the half a shekel at that time by the 15th of Adar was not yet forced to do so. However, on the 25th of Adar, so now you're almost at the deadline, which is Rosh Chodesh Nisan, collectors would sit in the sanctuary from 25th of Adar and on. Those who did not voluntarily bring the Machatzir HaShekel were coerced. They were forced to do so. So the sages ordained, we, Oilanu Kichatanu, we do not have a temple. We do not have Korbanot Tzibur. We do not have a Sanhedrin sitting in the Lishkas Hagazis, the chamber of hewn stone. We don't have collectors. We do, but not collectors for the half a shekel for the Korbanot Tzibur. The sages ordained that on the Shabbos immediately preceding Adar, so again I told you, it could be the last Shabbos of Shvat, or if the last Shabbos of Shvat coincides with the first Shabbos of Adar, like this year, Rosh Chodesh itself falls on Shabbos, the portion of Torah that mentions the Machatzis HaShekel B'Shekel Kodesh, which is what we began Shir with, should be read. Because on Shabbos, when the entire nation gathers in the synagogues and the study halls to hear Kriyat HaTorah, we are reminded of this annual mitzvah. The reading of the portion of the half shekel serves as the reminder and the first call for the fulfillment of this mitzvah. Today, we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. We don't have the mitzvah of contributing the Machatzir HaShekel for the Korbanot Tzibur, but nevertheless, we do read this passage on this Shabbos. The pasuk in Hosea says, "Neshama Sfateinu, Parim Sfateinu, Neshama Parim Sfateinu," that our lips, it's as if we brought the sacrifice. We can't bring the sacrifice anymore, but when we contribute, when we remember, it's as if we could, if we could bring the sacrifice, we'd bring the sacrifice. Another reason The sages ordained that the Parsha of Shkalim should be read at the appropriate time nowadays. The first reason, it's commemoration. And not only is it a commemoration, but it's as if we're saying to Hashem, if only we could, we really want to. But since we can't, we're at least reading the passage of the Machatzit HaShekel. Another reason, the sages ordained that the portion of the Shkalim be read at the appropriate time, even nowadays, for we pray that the Beit HaMikdash will soon be rebuilt. And we must be familiar with the mitzvos. Halavai benisin nigal benisin asidin nigael. And the Gemara says in Maseches Tainis Chavtas Amar Aleph. Rav says Kshem shaminichnas av mimeatin besimcha. Kain mishenichnas adar mar bimesimcha. Just like in Av we diminish joy, in Adar we increase joy. And Rashi says on the Gemara, why do we increase joy? Rashi says because it's the yamim of simcha of Purim and Pesach. We're moving into the season of Geula. Rashi says the Simcha of Adar, Rashi to Gemara Tainis, Chav Tes Amar Aleph. It's not only because of Purim that we have Simcha and Adar, but this whole season is one of Simcha. So the second reason we continue with the custom of Shabbos Parsha Shkalim, coinciding with the beginning of Adar, which is technically 1 month before the collection were due, is because we hope that the Beis HaMikdash will be redeemed very soon. This is the season of Geula. And if it's redeemed and rebuilt and the people go back to Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael, we need to know what to do. One of the things we needed to know how to do is to give a Machatzit HaShekel so that we should be familiar with the proper manner of fulfilling this mitzvah. We continue to have Shabbos Parsha Shkalim even today. The mitzvah, writes Kitov, of the half shekel is especially favored, for it teaches us to love our fellow Jews greatly. All Jews are equal before God. This really relates to what I said about Tzaddik, Beinoni, and Rasha. All Jews are equal before God. And the fulfillment of this mitzvah was by all Jews equally. No matter who you were, you had to bring a half a shekel. There are no rich or poor before God, says Kitov. There are no favored or disfavored. All are close to him. All should have a contribution in their korbanot zibur, bringing atonement for their sins, like it says, l'chaper al nafsho sechem. Furthermore, I heard, it's one of the reasons brought down why it's only a half a shekel and not a whole shekel. It's a drashic interpretation, a shkafic interpretation, because all Jews must contribute. So every Jew should see themselves as only a half. Another Jew fulfills me, and we make a whole. Kol Yisrael arev im zeh bazeh. And there is a significance to coming together where two halves make a whole. We should see ourselves as incomplete unless we take part in the tzibur, unless we join with the tzibur. And so one half fills the other half. Those are the psukim, that's Rashi, it's some interesting halachos and historical reference, so we know the significance of Shabbos Parsha Shkalim. There is a connection as well to the Yom Tov of Purim. Again, this Shabbos Parsha Shkalim occurs the last Shabbos of Shvat or Rosh Chodesh Adar. So we feel when we come to Adar in the Purim feeling, it's the Purim season, it's the time of Simcha. Why is Shabbos Parsha Shkalim specific? Rabbitson Shechter, I just want to stop for a moment and say thank you very much. I'm sure she's busy announcing to my shir, but I appreciate that you came on here as host to help us. And Bli Ein Hara, the Zoom now seems to be working. Okay, thumbs up, everybody. Baruch Hashem. Okay, so what is the significance of Shabbos Parsha Shkalim connection to Purim? We already said why timeline, we read it now. This is when they first made the announcements. You give people a month to get the funds together. So historically, it makes sense. But there is a deeper lesson here as well as to why Shabbos Parsha Shkalim is the first of the Arba Parshios that introduces this season of Geula. We already quoted Rashi to the Gemara. And all these Arba Parshios are really read either moving into Adar or in Adar, stopping at Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Why is the portion of Shkalim before Zachar? Shkalim, Zachar, Purim. We already mentioned that the sages ordained, I'm still quoting from Kitov, that we read the portion of Shkalim in proximity to Rosh Chodesh Adar. In fact, on this year, it is on the first day of Adar. Because from the first of Adar, people were reminded that you have a month, 4 weeks, there's a countdown, before the half shekel is due. However, why specifically now in conjunction with the Yom Tov of Purim? The answer is in the merit of the fulfillment of the half shekel mitzvah, we merit the ability to wipe out Amalek. Tzedaka tatzel mimaves, teshuva tefillah tzedaka ma'avir nisrael gzeira. Next week, we read from Sefer Devarim, Perek Chaf Hei, Yedzayin through Yotesh. What gives us the zchus to withstand the threat of Amalek and its desire to annihilate us, specifically Haman ha'agagi, Mizara Amalek? The tzedakah that we give, the half shekel contribution. God commanded Israel to give a half shekel as a zikaron. That's the last pasuk that we read here, 30:16. Lechaper al nafsho sechab. It's interesting even that Shkalim precedes Zachar, and the last words of Shabbos Parsha Shkalim are lezikaron lifnei Hashem. We read this before we went through the pesukim. Lechaper al nafsho sechab. Next Shabbos is Parsha Zachar. We have to remember what Amalek did, but we ask God to remember what we did for him. Let your zikaron, God, the zikaron lefnei Hashem, lechaper al nafsho sechem, let your the zikaron of our tzedakah, our dedication to karbanot zibur, our dedication to mishkan and mikdash, let that be a zikaron to combat and veto the zechiras Amalek. And let this be a kapara for our souls when the enemy comes to destroy that, to destroy us. Furthermore, the Gemara says, and now I am moving into, there's no room here for everything, my shtender, my computer, my chumash, my notes, kenayinah, baruch Hashem. Oh, before I move into Maseches Megillah, I'm going to quote from Megillas Esther. Now the Megillah says, in Perek Gimel, Pasuk Ches. So we know the basic story of the Megillah. We're all familiar with the basic story of the Megillah. Again, the second part of Shir now, we are moving into understanding the connection between Shkalim as the introduction to Chodesh Adar and preceding Zachar and Purim. So the Megillah says in Paraches, I think there's even Megillah in the back of those Mikros Gedolos. If you're interested, you can find it inside. The Megillah says in Perek Gimel Pasuk Ches, chapter 3, verse 8, we know the beginning, Vashti's killed, now he's lonely, new queen, beauty pageant, Esther, Malka, Mordechai won't bow down, Haman wants to kill all the Jews. Perek Gimel Pasuk Ches. Vayomer Haman Lamelech Achashverosh. Yeshno Am Echad Mefuzar Umeforad Bein Ha'amim Bechol Medinot Me'achusecha. There is one nation scattered and dispersed amongst all the provinces of your kingdom. Vidaseim Shonos Mikol Am. And their religion is different from all other nations. And the religion of the king they do not do. And it's just not worth it. V'lamelech Perek Gimel Pasuk Ches. V'lamelech Ein Shov Elahanicham. What do you need that for? It's just a headache. They're different. They're weird. They don't put up the Christmas tree. They don't paint the Easter eggs. We don't celebrate Halloween. But the same Shonos Michal Am. Let's get rid of them. Im al hamelech tov. If it is good for the king, yikasev la'abdam. He should write to destroy them. Va'aseres alafim kikar kasef. Eshkol, I will pay you 10,000 silver shekel for the right to kill the Jews. Al yadei osa hamalacha, lahavi al ginzei hamelech. I will give 10,000 talents of silver to the treasury of the king. I will give 10,000 talents of silver to support your palace, the Beit HaMelech, for permission to kill the Jews. And the king removes his ring from upon his hand, and he gives it to Haman ben Hamdasa ha'agagi. Haman is from Agag, Agag is Hamalek. So rare ha'yehudim, the oppressor of the Jews. Does Achashverosh take the money? Vayomer ha'melech l'Haman. And the king says to Haman, ha'kesef nasunach. Keep the money. I don't need you to pay me to kill the Jews. Ha'kesef nasunach, the money is given to you. V'ha'am la'asopo katov be'inecha. Keep the money that you offer me. Do whatever you want with the people. And they call the scribes. When do they call the scribes? B'chodesh HaRishon in Nisan. On the 13th day of Nisan. And they wrote out the decree. And they sent them out quickly, Pasuk Yud Gimel, to destroy and to kill, to annihilate all the Jews of all ages on one day, on which day, on the 13th of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar. So here we have a transaction where Haman offered to pay Aseret Alafim Kikar Kasef Eshkol. If you look at those words, Aseret Alafim Kikar Kasef, 10,000 talents of silver Eshkol from the word Shekel to the king's house. So Haman wants to pay to support the runnings of the king's palace. for 10,000 talents of silver. And Ahasuerus says, you know what? You don't need to pay me. Do whatever you want with the people. The Gemara says, I am going to Maseches Megillah. Yud Gimel Amud Beis. The very end of Maseches. The very end of Amud Yud Gimel. Amar Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish said, Galui v'yadua lefnei misha amar v'haya ha'olam. It is known and revealed before he who spoke and created the world, meaning it's known and revealed before the Almighty. She'asid Haman lishkol shekalim al Yisrael. That in the future, Haman would weigh out shekels, aseret alafim kikar kasef eshkol al yudei osam lacha. You think those Jews are so great because they gave a half a shekel for the work of the Beit HaMikdash, for the work of the Mishkan? I will trump them. I will give 10,000 talents of silver shekels for the work of your house, Achashverosh. Ah, Rirbanu Shalom Nu, says Reish Lakish, sha'asid Haman lishkol shkalim al Yisrael. But in the future, Haman would weigh out shkalim for Israel, for the right to kill Israel. Lefichach, therefore, Hikdim shkalehen lishkalav. God preceded the Jewish shkalim to Haman's shkalim. Again, I'm in Maseches Megillah, Yud Gimel Amud Beis, right at the end of the Amud. Ah, v'hainu ditanan, and so we learn in the Mishnah, ba'achad ba'adar, on the first of Adar, we were supposed to be killed on the 13th of Adar for the price of 10,000 silver shekel. So what do we do beginning from Rosh Chodesh Adar? Now we understand the beginning of the Shir and a Hashkafic and Drashic interpretation as expounded by Reish Lakish. Therefore, practically, why one Adar? Because it's due one Nisan. People need time to secure the funds. People also need a lot of reminders. It's not only time to secure the funds. You could have the funds and you still need reminders. It's the same thing today. V'hainu ditanan, and so we learn in the Mishnah, says Reish Lakish, because the Ribbono Shel Olam knew that Haman HaRasha was going to offer Achashverosh for the upkeep of his house 10,000 kikar shekel, eshkol, I will weigh out. Therefore, hikdim shkalehen lishkalav. He gave precedence to our shkalim. Our shkalim are the antidote. Lezikaron lefnei Hashem lechaper al nafsho sechem. That's exactly right. Next week is Parsha Zachar for us. Well, this week is Parsha Zachar for the Ribbono Shel Olam. What is his zechira? His zechira is lizikaron lefnei Hashem. Remember, our machatzis hashekel that negates, that protects us, that saves us from whose shkalim? Haman's. Therefore, the Mishnah says, quotes the Gemara, ba'achad ba'adar mashmi'in al hashkalim. From the first of Adar, we proclaim, we remind people to bring their machatzit hashekel. Va'al hakilayim, and also regarding klayim, which is the mixer of certain diverse species. Ah, as the pasuk says, va'yomer hamalech lahaman, and the king, so what's the king's answer? What does the king say to Haman? Hakesef nasunach. Don't worry, you don't have to pay me, I also want to kill the Jews. Don't worry, says Achashverosh. You don't need to pay me, but he was willing to pay him. He was ready to pay him. So our shkalim precede Amalek shkalim. So therefore, what is the first Shabbos of the special Arba Parshios in this season of Geula? What does the Gemara say? Meseches Tainis Kishem Sheminichnas Av Mimaatim B'Simcha Kain Mishenichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha. What does Rashi say in the Gemara? It's a season. It's a Yom Tov. It's a Simcha from Purim and Pesach, says Rashi. Ah. So as we usher in these Arba Parshios, each one having something different to do with this time of year and this season of Geula, we begin with the Machatzis HaShekel. Because it's true, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash anymore, but it should still be a Zikaron Lefnei Hashem. And if we think Amalek and Haman are dead and gone, we know it's not true. Rav Soloveitchik says in the name of his grandfather, Rav Chaim Brisker, Zecher Tzadik Kukdoshim Lebracha, Amalek is anyone in any generation who rises up to kill you. That's what it means. B'chol dor v'dor, amdi maleinu l'chaloseinu. We need this chusim today. So we still have Shabbos Parshas Shkalim to remind God of our generosity to his house, to negate Haman's generosity to the house of Achashverosh. The Gemara continues by quoting, Vayomer HaMelech LaHaman, and the king says to Haman, HaKesef Nasun Lach, keep the money, V'ha'am La'asopo Katab Beinecha. Do whatever you want with the people. He gives him his ring, he stamps the letters, everybody goes out. The Gemara explains this exchange between Achashverosh and Haman as follows. Amar Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba says, and now we move into Yudalad Amar Af. Mashal, I'm going to give you a parable to explain this conversation. Mashal d'Achashverosh v'Haman l'maha davar domer. Why can you compare this transaction, this sale, between Haman and Achashverosh? L'shnei b'nei Adam. Let's compare it to two people. La'achad haya lo tel b'toch sadehu. One had a tail, a mound, in his field. When we were in Eretz Yisrael in the summer of 2019, so one of our tour guides who took us to an incredibly amazing place after Har Herzl, which I mentioned before, we went to an excavation site, Kerbet Kayafa, which is off the beaten track, pun very much intended, not open to the public. If you ever have opportunity and you want to find out about Kerbet Kayafa and the borders are open, and we have Kibbutz Galios, and we could all go to Kerbet Kayafa, I will give you the tour guide's name. Incredible. But he explained to us what a tail is. A tail is not only a mound. Historically, a tail, Tav Lamed. That's the word in Hebrew. Like Tel Aviv. Okay? And I understood what Tel Aviv was. He showed us, you know, the tour guides in Israel are certified by the Ministry of Tourism. They carry around books and drawings and scientific facts and historical facts. A tail is one society built on top of another society. That's why when you go to the burnt house, the Beit HaSrefa in the old city, you have to go down so many stairs, because in the time of Bayesheni, street level wasn't here. That's why when you go to the excavation sites in the old city, you go down. The Kotel tunnel tour is down. Why? Chizkiyahu's tunnels. You have to go down because the civilization was on this level. And that civilization was destroyed. Next civilization comes built on top of it. Next civilization comes built on top of that, build on top of that, on top of that. Tel Aviv. So that Friday night, we were in Eretz Yisrael, and in Kabbalah Shabbos, when we got up to the words, V'nivnesa ir altila, talking about the future redemption, I looked at my daughter. I said, wow, what are we saying? We bonus all and build the ultimate, final civilization of Mashiach ben David on top of all the past civilizations. Just a very, very interesting, if you knew that, okay. For me, it was very interesting. So here we go. We're still in the mashal in the Gemara. Mashal l'shnei b'nei Adam. It's a mashal to two men. La'achad shehaya lo tel. Again, it's a tav lamed. I think of the word Tel Aviv, okay? One had a mound of dirt in his field, b'toch sadeh. He had a pile of dirt. U'la'achad haya lo charitz b'toch sadeh. The other guy has a ditch. One guy has a mound of dirt. The other guy has a ditch. Our scroll footnote says, who is who? Which is Achashverosh and which is Haman? Achashverosh is the one who had a mound in his field. Why? Because a mound is distinguished by its height. And Achashverosh perceived that Israel was a great nation. He knew there was something about them. He perceived them as a mound. Haman is the one who had the ditch, because he saw Israel as lowly and degraded. We're viewed as different ways in the eyes of the Ummah Sa'olam. So Achashverosh saw, he perceived that there was something special, elevated about the people. He still wanted to kill us. They still want to kill us. But he understood there was something elevated. So Achashverosh is the guy who has the tail, the mount. And Haman is the guy who has the ditch. Baal Choritz Amar, the owner of the ditch, says, he has a ditch. This week's Parsha, what if you have a hole, Mishpatim? What if you have a hole in your field and somebody falls in your ditch? Who's responsible? So the owner of the ditch doesn't want a ditch in his field. He needs to close it up. Where is he going to get the dirt? Baal Choritz Amar, the owner of the ditch, Haman, who sees us as lowly, decrepit, disgusting, downtrodden. Me tainly tell Zebedamim, how I wish somebody would sell me that tail. Look at that mound in my neighbor's field. Me tainly tell Zebedamim. He saw the tail, he says, wow, look at that tail. I wish somebody would sell it to me. I need it to fill my ditch. At the same time, the owner of the field with the mound, he doesn't want someone to trip over the mound. And he's looking into the next field and he sees the ditch. Baal Hatel Omar, the owner of the mound, says, Mi teini charitza bedamim, wow, if only somebody would sell me that ditch, bedamim, for payment. So we can make a shitfus. Let's have a bis. I'll get rid of my tail. You'll get rid of your mound. We'll both be happy. We won't have any problems anymore. Ah. So this is the mashal of who we're quoting here, Rabbi Abba. Leyamim, after a certain amount of time, nizdav guza itzozal zivug. They made a shech between the two of them. They met each other. This one, the Baal tail, and this one, the Baal charitz. They encounter one another. Amar lo Baal charitz the Baal hatel. The Baal charitz, the owner of the ditch. Remember, who's that? Who initiates the killing? Haman, the Baal charitz. Amar lo Baal charitz the Baal hatel, the owner of the ditch, says to the owner of the mound, Mechor li tilcha, please sell me your mound. Amar lo. What do you think the owner of the tail says? He doesn't want a mound in his field. Why not? It's inconvenient. Someone could trip. It's in the way. Amarlo, he says, tail also bechinam. V'halavai. That's the lashon of the Gemara. You don't need to pay me. I don't need your money. Take it for free. Halavai. Wouldn't that be so? That you take my problem off of my hands and we will both be happy. And so he removes the signet ring. And he gives it to Haman ben Hamdasa ha'agagi, Torah ha'yehudim, for the right to kill the Jews. The Chizkuni says, sorry, I know it's fine. If anyone else has to go, I'm not insulted. We start a couple minutes late because of the Zoom problem. So I'm going to take the last 3 minutes, please, since we started 5 minutes late. If anyone has to go, I understand. I wish you a good Shabbos and a Chodesh Tov. And a meaningful Parsha Shkalim. The Chizkuni says to Shmos 30:14. Watch Shmos 30:14. We looked at it already. Kol ha'over al ha'pikudim. I'm going back to Kitisa, which is where we began our shir. Kol ha'over al ha'pikudim mebein esrim shana v'mala yitain truma Hashem. Anyone who passes to be counted from the age of 20 and up should give a truma to Hashem. We already explained why it's truma 3 times. The Chizkuni, in his commentary to Shemos, Perak Lamed, Pasuk Yadalid, the Chizkuni says, V'lefichach, ready? This is Chizkuni to the Chumash. V'lefichach, Amar Haman HaRasha, V'aserat Alafim Kikar Kesef Eshkol. Haman HaRasha said, the Chizkuni tells us in Shabbos Parsha Eshkol, in commentary to Chumash, Haman HaRasha, Haman the Wicked said, and the 10,000 talents of silver, shkalim, I will weigh out. Amar, he said, Kidai shkalei levatel shkaleihem. Haman thought, Kidai shkalei levatel shkaleihem. My, Haman wasn't a stupid guy. Hello, yamach shmo v'zichro. May he eternally suffer the worst fires of Gehenna that we can't imagine. Halvai. Wasn't a stupid man. Haman said, Kidai shkalai, says the Chizkuni, levatel shkalehem. My shkalim, my 10,000 talents of silver kesef, are enough to be mevatel, to nullify their shkalim. Ma'ani etain keneged shishi rubo shabahem, la'aso mehem kirtzoni. I will pay to counterbalance, to counteract, to negate the 600,000 men who gave the shkalim. I will give to do with them whatever I want. The Medrash says, Medrash Esther Rabbah, which I have here, 719, which I'm not going to quote from right now because we're out of time now. Medrash Esther Rabbah explains that Haman said to Achashverosh, okay, it's very short. 719, it's very short. Haman says to Achashverosh, Pashta leis ana yadai mi ne yanehon. I don't know how many there are right now. Haman says to Achashverosh, I don't know how many Jews there are right now in 127 provinces. However, kinafku mi Mitzrayim, but I know that when they left Egypt, havalohu shisma alpim gavra. When they left Egypt, there were 600,000 men. That I do know. V'al kol chad v'chad, and for each and every one, Yahavna loch me'a zuzei achad, I will give you 100 zuzim per individual, dahainu chamishim shkol, which is 50 shekel, for a total of 10,000 talents, which equals 600,000 Jews. If you want to really know the math, there's a chart in the Art Scroll Funo explaining all the math, but Haman's calculations were that he was paying off Achashverosh through Zuzim, converted to shekels, his Kikar Kasaf, for 600,000 Jews. I'm not sure how many there are, but like the Chizkuni says, Kidai Shkalei Livatel Shkaleihem. I know that my Shkalem will be Mevatel, their Shkalem. Why do we read? Why do we usher in this season of Simcha with Parsha Shkalim? What maybe seemed to have nothing to do with us when we began Shir seems to bring us a lot of Zchusim and has a lot to do with us. We began with the Parsha Shkalim, with a Rashi, with Kitov, halachically understanding what's going on, and then moving into the Drashic level and the connection to Purim. Halavai, the Beis HaMikdash should be rebuilt and this Zechira will become Asiya. But in the interim, we say to the Ribbono Shel Olam as we usher in Chodesh Adar. Next week may be Shabbos Zachar for us. But this week is Zikaron Lifnei Hashem. Lechaper al nafsho seichem. Hashem, remember our contributions to your house. To negate and veto the contribution, the desired contribution of Haman to Achashverosh's house. And he thought his shkalim would negate our shkalim. But we know, and the zchus of our shkalim ultimately negated Haman's shkalim. I wish you all a wonderful Shabbos, a chodesh tov, a meaningful Shabbos parsha shkalim. May the neshama of Rabbi Yosef Aryeh ben Rav Avram Hirsch, zichrona levracha, merit an aliyah and the zchus of the Torah that we share today. Once again, I thank Rabbi Tzun Shechter for helping us out. Thank you so much, everybody. I wish you a wonderful day.